Well, all right. Star Child, citizens of the universe, recording angels. We have returned to claim the pyramid. Partying on the mothership. I am the mothership connection. Get down in 3D. Light year groove. Well, all right. You hear the noise? Ain't nobody but me and the boy. Get down.
Hey guys, it's episode 531 of All Time Top 10. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Thanks so much to all of y'all for tuning in. Coming up in just a minute, we got Top 10 Songs About Aliens, Part 1. And our friend Gabe Scalone wanted to do this topic for a while, and we indulged him, and yeah, we had a great time. You will have a great time listening, I do believe. So, Songs About Aliens, Part 1 coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much to everyone that's in the Patreon Club. Coming up October 1st, not too far from now, you're going to hear Top 10 Songs with Insanely Long Titles. It's a $10 tier member rewards episode. This one goes out to listener Ari. Thanks so much, Ari, for this one. And I just taped it. Just a little while ago with the Wolfing Brothers, Chris and Justin, Top 10 Songs with Insanely Long Titles. If you are in the Patreon Club, you're going to hear that October 1st. If you want to get in on that, and you should, find out how you can join for $2 a month. $2 a month, everybody. Go to the website, alltimetop10pod.com, and then click on that Patreon link to find out how you can join. One last thing before we get into this episode. We have three more entries into the ATTT 1000, the 1000 greatest songs we've ever heard. This week we had number 874, Iggy and the Stooges with Search and Destroy. And I was asking you guys what the best album that created punk rock is. Lots of great responses there. We had the MC5, Kick Out the Jams, The Modern Lovers, self-titled, The Who Sings My Generation, The Velvet Underground, and Nico, and many more. But yeah, it's Search and Destroy. It's Iggy and the Stooges from the album Raw Power. What a great record. And thanks so much to listener Bibliotrix over there on Instagram. She says, every time Iggy is a choice, I'll vote for him, says the guardian of Iggy Pup. Apparently, she has a dog named Iggy Pup. That is so cute. Thank you for that one. And then Alex Schroyer on Twitter says the whole album Raw Power was epic, and I agree. At number 873, it's The Darkness with I Believe in a Thing Called Love. I was asking you guys what the best UK hard rock band of the 21st century is. The consensus is Idols. Everyone wants to talk about Idols. That was not in the running for that poll, but we do appreciate it. The Darkness is the band. The song is I Believe in a Thing Called Love, coming in at number 873. Thanks so much to listener Adam, who on Facebook says this. I love this. Man, this here's a song that'll kick in your door, drink your liquor, make out with your significant other, leave sweat marks on every surface it leans on, and then saunter out the door while you smile and yell that it can come back anytime. Love it. Thank you for that, Adam. Justin says, that song is a banger. I agree. Wholeheartedly. Thank you, Justin. And number 872, we're all rocking out this week. Number 872 is Kickstart My Heart from Motley Crue. I was asking you guys what the greatest all-time Motley Crue song is. You guys had lots of good suggestions there. Looks That Kill, God Bless the Children of the Beast, Don't Go Away Mad, Just Go Away, Shout at the Devil, and many more. Kickstart My Heart is the song. And Christopher Van Gompel, our friend Chris, states, Kickstart My Heart is the last gasp of glam metal. And that sounds about right. 1989, the very tip of the best of that kind of music for sure. Kickstart My Heart, number 872. If you guys want to hear these songs along with all the other ones that we've revealed so far in the ATTT 1000, go find those playlists. They're over at Apple Music and YouTube and on Spotify. Look for those when you get a chance. All right, let's get into this. Let's talk about aliens. Let's talk to the great Gabe Scalone. And this is part one. Roll the tape. Do it for me again. I'll make it happen.
This is the way it began, that extraordinary night. The night he came.
I can't believe it. What do you think it is?
A real alien.
Willie, what is it?
I don't know. Brian's right. It's an ALF.
What?
An ALF. An A-L-F. That's short for alien life form.
Can I stay in my room?
No. No, this thing is not staying in anyone's room. It's not staying.
Why not? E.T. got to stay.
E.T. was a movie. This is real. This is on our coffee table. I know this is very exciting, but I don't see any alternative. We've got to report this. What other choice do we have?
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Well, if it's not too much trouble, how about fixing my spaceship?
Hello, read my lips.
It talks.
It's heavy, it's hairy, and it talks.
Top 10 songs about aliens, part 1.
This year for Christmas, there's something I'd really like. So if you're up there somewhere, Santa, please don't bring me another bike. I don't need any ugly sweaters, and I don't play much basketball. But there's something kind of special that I want most of all. I want an alien for Christmas. Bring me an alien this year. I want a little green guy about 3 feet high with 17 eyes who knows how to fly. I want an alien for Christmas this year.
Hey everybody, welcome to another Halcyon episode of All Time Top 10. Yeah.
Ooh,
oh yeah. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of All Time Top 10. I am your host, Ben Eisen, and with me here on the Zoom call, as we do. Actually, I think we're on Facebook Messenger, whatever. Nobody cares. With me once again.
Well, I care.
Yeah. Well, the fact that we can chat is the most important thing. And I am chatting through Facebook Messenger with the great Gabe Scalone, everybody. Yeah, Gabe Scalone. Woo!
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Yeah.
Good to be back.
Good to have you back. And
I feel like I was just here.
It was almost a month ago. We did the Patreon episode. Thanks to all those fine Patreon folks. We did the hilarious punk rock songs episode. And I was looking at the file, and that was August 29th, and today is September 23rd. That's the last episode I did. I haven't taped a single episode since the last one we did.
Really?
Yeah, just a trip out of town, scheduling things fell through, all kinds of stuff. So we're actually up against it because this is... an episode that's going to come out on Monday. Part one, anyway.
Yeah, I tell you, I always take a long time doing these things. And
and we love you for it. We respect you.
And I'm happy to do it. I love doing the show. But I had to rush to get this one done. So this might be a little rough around the edges. So bear with me, ladies and gentlemen.
Nah. Anyone that's heard a Gabe Scalone episode knows that... they tend to go off the rails, but always in a good way. So don't.
Not exactly. Maybe not off the rails per se.
Off
maybe.
The rails.
In terms of like. That's fine.
In terms of fun things to get into.
Yeah, because there's nothing more fun than a train going off the rails.
Absolutely. Well, if you're not on it. Well, shit. We are on it. All right,
we are on it, Ben.
We'll do the best we can. And this is a fun topic. This is a Gabe Scalone special. We went back and forth. You and I did the Bowie episode, and I'm advocating for Bowie songs part two at some point.
Anytime.
Yeah, and of course our existential series. We need to readdress.
Yeah, I haven't gotten back to that in a while.
We need to revisit that. But we had to shelve all those things in order to pull up a topic that Gabe Scalone himself recommended, and it's quite fun stuff. This is songs about aliens.
Yeah, I actually can't take total credit for this. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and we were talking about a particular song, which actually is on this list, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, you also do like a show about aliens," and I'm like, "Oh, he's totally done a show about aliens, I'm sure." Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a, you know,
it's an obvious topic. It's an oboe
so
topic.
So I asked you, and you're like, "No, we haven't done that." And I was like, "Well, we should do that."
Is that how it happened? Was that you just painted a wonderful?
That's exactly how it happened.
Storyline there.
Actually, honestly, that is very much how it happened.
Yeah, that was not need to break down. But anyway, anyhow.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. That's our theme. I think that came up last. Something happened, and then nobody cared. We are talking about songs about aliens, and we did do songs about outer space. With our pal Adam Sears, that was way back in like 2012 or something. Aliens
makes sense. Makes sense considering his band.
Yeah, exactly.
Lobate Scarp.
That's right. Gabe is here to talk aliens, and I gotta say I am worried about Steels in this one. You mentioned off the air that you have a total of 6 songs at your disposal, and I have a bunch. You have 5 total. You have an alternate though.
Oh yes, absolutely.
You got 6. Almost all of my picks are Gabe picks. I feel like just by looking at them. I'm nervous.
I am decidedly worried about this.
I have lots of alternates, but apparently you don't. So. Let's just try not to step on each other's toes.
Yeah. So
is that a deal? Can we shake on that? Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Anyway, yeah, songs about aliens. Are you ready?
Yeah. Well, before we get on, I want to explain. On a number of other episodes, I've done kind of something different. Mm-hmm. I thought a lot of these podcasts were, you know, kind of silly that people listen to, and I kind of. I made them in the form of a kind of pretentious, you know, NPR type podcast. Well, I've been noticing, like, I've seen it on like YouTube and some of the other podcasts. There's been this move to kind of a more storytelling centric format of talking about, you know, mysterious and, you know, the wonderful. And it's very colloquial and very straightforward. No pretension, no flowery. You know, where it's just kind of a straightforward, you know, almost Stephen King vocabulary-esque.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, no, not at all. The thing about Stephen King is that anybody can read his stuff. It's so unpretentious. That's why. Mm-hmm. So these, particular things I've noticed. And, you know, people tend to like it. So I've written all these, taking the songs literally. Because, of course, much of what the songs are metaphor. I'm taking them absolutely literally, and I wrote a song. I wrote a story to explain the song, and I've incorporated lyrics into the stories as well.
Gabe Scalone always does something special for you people. So
we love
having Gabe on the show for many reasons, and that's one of them. Because you're always cooking up something. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You do stuff that I couldn't possibly do every episode. It'd be too much work. You know.
Oh, well, I agree to that.
You go crazy.
Because I do spend a lot more time on this than I should, but I just, you know, I get really into it and enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoy it. I look forward to it.
Well, most of my picks have their own story, so I'm gonna let the lyrics tell the tale. And,
fair enough.
In my picks, but let's get it going. Let's do number 10. Who wants number 10?
Why don't you go ahead?
Okay, I can do that. Let us start in 1966, a song about a dude who gets abducted by aliens, or at least he wants to. He says, "Woke up this morning with light in my eyes, and then I realized it was still dark outside. It was a light coming down from the sky. I don't know who or why. Must be those strangers that come every night. Those saucer-shaped lights put people up tight. Leave blue-green footprints that glow in the dark. I hope they get home all right. This is Mr. Spaceman from The Birds.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. I'm sure in your research you came across this one.
Yeah, I have a large list that I had pared down as it went along, and that was on my extended list for sure.
Yeah, it's really fun. I always picture that this makes for a good number 10. It's just full of energy and good vibes. The song was written by Jim McGuinn, member of The Birds, and it was on their third album, Fifth Dimension, and it was one of two science fiction themed songs on that album. One thing that listening to the song you might pick up is that it's got flavors of country rock to it. This is 1966. Most Birds fans know that in 68 they had a whole country album. Graham Parsons had joined the band, Sweetheart of the Rodeo. But this is 66. This is 2 years before that. And this is the first first instance of country music seeping into the Birds canon. So I think that's pretty cool. The single release of the song was accompanied by a spoof press announcement from the Birds co-manager Eddie Tickner, stating that he had taken out a $1 million insurance policy with Lloyd's of London against his clients being kidnapped by extraterrestrial visitors. This is Mr. Spaceman from the Birds. Song hit number 36 on the U.S. charts in 1966. And we did have a couple of listeners that wanted to hear this one. Robert and Richard want to hear Mr. Spaceman. So let's check it out. Number 10.
Roll it.
Yeah. Number 10. Mr. Spaceman.
Woke up this morning with light in my eyes, and then realized it was still dark outside. It was a light coming down from the sky. I don't know who or why. Must be those strangers that come every night. Those saucer-shaped lights put people uptight. Leave blue-green footprints that glow in the dark. I hope they get home all right. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride? Woke up this morning, I was feeling quite weird. Had flies in my beard, my toothpaste was smeared. Over my window, they'd written my name. Said, so long, we'll see you again. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride?
So I'm not sure what to make of that third verse. It seems like they did experiments on him, or like, you know, gave him one of those like good old fashioned anal probes or something.
Yeah, but he had flies in his beard.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he said, woke up this morning, I was feeling quite weird. Had flies in my beard. My toothpaste was smeared. Over my window, they'd written my name, said, so long, we'll see you again. What is going on?
Where was his toothpaste smeared, though? That's the question. And that's a worry.
Is that a lubricant? I wasn't aware.
I mean, it could be. You know, knowing the kind of space age colors of toothpaste, maybe they mistook it for, you know.
Can you blame them, really?
Intergalactic KY.
My goodness. Jim McGuinn and fellow band member David Crosby felt hopeful about communicating with alien life forms through the medium of AM radio broadcast. In a later interview with Pete Frame for Zigzag magazine, Jim explained how he believed this would have been possible. He says, quote, I was interested in astronomy and the possibility of connecting with extraterrestrial life, and I thought that it might work the other way around if we tried to contact them. I thought that the song being played in the air might be a way of getting through to them. But even there, if there had been anybody up there listening, they wouldn't have heard, because I found out later that AM airwaves diffuse in space too rapidly. Damn it, man.
Well, damn.
Bummer. I had that all worked out in my mind, man.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, the 60s. Let's go to number 9. What do you got over there?
All right, number 9. So, Ben, could you give me a music bed of something sinister? Space Agent Sinister.
Dun,
could
you, dun, 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 and dun.
It was on June 18th, 1985, when Bob Steckler and George Newman were seated in the newsroom of a small television station located 10 minutes outside downtown Tulsa when they got the news that hundreds of UFOs had just appeared in orbit. Along with the rest of the news team, they watched as the biggest of the craft settled over major cities across the globe. Then, without warning, each city was vaporized by a gigantic energy beam. First Tokyo, then New York was the next go. And by the end of the day, hundreds of cities lay in ash with a death toll of close to a billion. Tulsa had been spared the initial strike, but eventually smaller craft landed in the area and the aliens began a ground assault. Throughout the chaos, the 10-person news crew stayed at their posts, helping to coordinate and broadcast evacuation instructions and shelter locations for the surrounding district. Many calls to friends and families went unanswered. Their only hope was that they saw the broadcast. By midnight, it was time to leave. The station would eventually become a target, and the team felt they had done all they could. After placing the latest announcement on a loop, Bob, George, and the other employees fled the station. And at that point, there wasn't much to say. After bidding each other luck, the small group scattered in various directions, some driving to the closest shelter, others took for family, and a few set off to find weapons for payback. After a quick discussion, Bob and George decided to make their way to the nearest shelter, which was Central High School, a few miles away. They both climbed into George's temperamental 1959 Nash Metropolitan. Unfortunately, the coupe was moody that night and gave no response when George turned the key. Out of options, the two were going to have to huff it down Edison Street, which at the time of night would be pitch black, as it ironically had no street lamps. They had been walking for several minutes when the sky lit up and a concussive blast of an explosion nearly knocked them to the ground. They looked back and they saw the station was in pieces and realized they only had minutes to live. Suddenly, the blare of a car horn and oncoming headlights offered possible salvation. A car skidded to the halt alongside Bob and George, and to their surprise, George's girlfriend, Terry Campbell, a local dentist, quickly beckoned him inside. Terry deftly dodged the burning detritus of the station that was scattered across the street and pulled off in the opposite direction of Central High. Anticipating the question, Terry explained that she had arrived at the shelter just as a group of creatures were approaching the entrance. She described the aliens as slimy, lizard-like, with big eyes and claws covered in what looked to be fungus. She continued saying she saw a group of National Guardsmen firing on the aliens, but then the soldiers stopped, dropped their weapons, and just stood there with blank expressions. The slime creatures proceeded to incinerate the men with death rays from their eyes, or they just tore them to pieces. Nowhere was safe. Terry pulled on Highway 412 and drove into the night. The three sat in silence, knowing full well their future and that of the human race was in doubt.
Whoa.
So, my number 9 is Slime Creatures from Outer Space by Weird Al Yankovic. Play it.
Number 9.
Number 9. Slime Creatures from Outer Space.
man, those slime creatures, they're just making a mess. You don't really think about that when you get invaded by aliens, you know, like, who's going to clean up all this, you know, gunk and goop?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's true.
Yeah. They never addressed that in the movies, but...
No, they didn't. Speaking of movies, I don't know if any of you out there got the tons of Easter eggs thrown in this, but all the characters in this and the locations were from UHF,
yep.
The movie with Weird Al.
I didn't know UHF was filmed in Tulsa. So if I had known that, I would have had an instant clue what you were.
They were filmed in Tulsa. I even looked up the address of where the radio station, the radio station antenna where they did the exteriors,
yeah.
And that was actually on Edison Street. And the highway 412 was the highway next to it. So, yeah, you know, I just thought that was kind of fun to put them together. And, you know, if you're going to take the song literally, it's just a terrifying apocalyptic world. But it's Weird Al, so, you know, we roll.
And it's all goopy. Anyway, that is Weird Al. Slime Creatures from Outer Space was requested by our friend Hans. Thank you.
Hey, Hans.
That's right. So this one coming up here, number 8, could be a steal, because I know your type. I know what you like, so just let me know if it is or not, and maybe I'll try to pick an alternate or something else, because I don't want to steal from you. Shout out to Henry Mancini and his 1959 instrumental hit, Peter Gunn. Henry gets partial songwriting credit for this one, because they completely stole the guitar riff. The song is about a girl from Planet Claire. Fred Schneider exclaims that he knew she came from there. He also knows that she drives a Plymouth satellite that travels at the speed of light. So, yeah, this is the B-52s.
I mean, Claire wouldn't be seen in anything else. Anything else would be so gauche.
That's right. You know what? You want to know what happens on Planet Claire?
Oh, tell me, Ben.
Well, for example, Planet Claire has pink air, and all the trees are red. No one.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Boy, wait, it gets better.
Can't be.
No one ever dies there. No,
hush your mouth.
It's true, and also, no one has a head.
That's deep, yo.
I know, right? Shout out to the late, great Ricky Wilson. Much of the soundscape on the song was created by the band's guitarist, Ricky Wilson, who sadly died of AIDS in 1985. Of course, the main lyricist on this one is Fred Schneider. In a 2019...
Of course.
Yep. In a 2019 Song Facts interview with B-52's vocalist Cindy Wilson, who was Ricky's sister, she said of this track, quote, "I loved Ricky's guitar, and Kate's wonderful kind of outer space vocal was really cool, and Fred has amazing lyrics. He can just conjure up and picture a landscape, and it was a really fun place to inhabit. Fred was a poet."
I agree wholeheartedly.
No one has a head.
I love the B-52s.
They're fantastic. We had some picks for B-52s songs. Our friend Gareth says, the B-52s, is that you, Modine? And Jeffrey, Adam, and Tim say, Planet Claire. So let's get into this one. It's number 8 from the B-52.
Number 8, Planet Claire.
Red. No one ever dies there. seven stars that shine after 3:30 in the morning. Wow, she is it! She came from planet Claire. She came from planet Claire. She came from planet Claire.
That's Planet Claire, yeah. There is apparently some mysticism tied up in some of the lyrics. He says, some say she's from Mars or one of the seven stars that shine after 3:30 in the morning. And then he goes, well, she isn't. Well, she isn't.
She isn't.
Apparently, the time between 3 and 4 a.m. in general and 3:30 specifically has been identified by mystics of various traditions as spiritually potent times when the veil between our reality and other realities is at its thinnest. How cool is that? So beware, Gabe Scalone. It's getting close to that time where you are. It's almost two. It's almost two now. So you know you want your reality bumping up against other realities. You know that's the time for that to happen. So be careful.
Well, I got several I'm playing with at all times anyway. So you know, I'll move one in, move one out.
Try to keep them all straight. Anyway, that is number eight. What's number seven? What do you got?
All right, Ben, music bed, please. Hadley West was a bookkeeper from Coventry who died on October 23rd, 1981, at the age of 79. He was survived by three girls. After the reading of West's will, the family solicitor, A. Graham Gibbons of Allerton, Gibbons & Howe, gave Hadley's oldest daughter, Helen, an envelope addressed to, quote, his beloved daughters. The letter, it seemed, had been registered with the law office for over 35 years, with instructions for them to receive it upon his death. The contents of this letter would change the way they saw their father forever. Post-war reconstruction was a difficult time for most Britishers. Hadley West was no different. He had done his part for the war effort, serving as an auditing clerk for the War Office, and now that the war was over, his services were no longer needed by the government. In search of work, Hadley hoped to latch on to one of the many companies now rebuilding from the rubble, and for this, Hadley, always a fastidious man, would put on his best suit, and he traveled around town offering his services to anyone that would see them. As he set off on one of these jaunts, he told his daughters he'd be late as he wanted to nip by the pub that night. Hadley had never quite gotten over the loss of his wife, who died in the Blitz, and when the melancholia caught him, he drowned his sorrows in a pint or two. Now, by no means frequent, this was not necessarily uncommon, so the girls paid it little mind. The next morning, when Hadley hadn't appeared for breakfast, Helen and the girls assumed he just got an early start about his day. When he didn't return that night, they began to worry. Their father was an extremely practical man who adored his daughters and would never intentionally put them in a position of unease. The next morning, Helen went to the police. A constable took her statement, filled out a report, and posted a bulletin. Hadley West was now officially missing. After several days with no sign of Hadley, the police and the girls began to lose hope. After a week, the lead detective suggested they begin to put their father's affairs in order. On the morning of the ninth day, Helen was in the middle of sorting her father's papers when she heard the front door lock turn. She left the sitting room to investigate, and to her surprise and utmost joy, in wandered her father. Hadley spent the rest of the day at the local station being interviewed by the police, and by that night, he was back home. Surrounded by his daughters and over blueberry scones and Earl Grey tea, he recounted what he told the police. It turns out Hadley was jumped by a gang of thieves on the way home from the bar that night. Wearing his best suit, they mistook him for a man of means. They locked him up, hoping to ransom him for a tidy sum, but eventually found he had no money. The kidnappers kept their faces covered so they knew he could never identify him, and not wanting to be on the hook for a potential murder charge, the men decided to let him go. This is what Hadley's daughters knew to be true. That is, until they read the letter, that was dated the day after he returned home. It said, "My beloved daughters, the story I told you about the night I was taken was a lie. Truth is, I was taken, but not by thieves. I can't explain who, but they took me to another world, a beautiful world. I wish that I could really tell you all the things that happened to me and all the things that I have seen. A world full of people, their hearts full of joy, cities of light with no fear of war, and thousands of creatures with happier lives and dreams of a future with meaning. No need to lie, no need to hate, and no need to hide. It seems strange I have to lie about a world so bright, but people would think me mad. So instead, I told up a made-up story from the world of night. I hope that you can forgive me." The three sisters looked at each other, not quite sure what to say. After a time, Helen said, "We should probably keep this in the dark." And the other two agreed. So my next choice is Genesis, Keep It Dark.
Okay, let's check it out. Number seven.
Number seven, Keep It Dark.
Hey, that's your story. That's your story, man.
Hey, such was the point.
I can't believe they ripped off your story for their lyrics.
Ah, those bastards. Hey, did you hear Phil hit those high notes?
Oh, yeah. He might have pooped himself doing that. Just kidding. Yeah, it's great. I wish I could really tell you all the things that happened to me and all I have seen. A world full of people, their hearts full of joy, cities of light with no fear or war, and thousands of creatures with happier lives and dreams of a future with meaning and no need to hide. Yeah, you better keep that dark.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, if somebody said that, yo, man, you're crazy.
Right.
Sure, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's just no way anyone would ever believe that. It's a cynical view of the world, but it's true.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. All right, let's go to number six. And Gabe Scalone, happy World Contact Day. That's what I'd say to you if today was March 15th, but it's not.
Yeah.
World Contact Day, what's that? What?
Now I'm going to say, which one did you use? But we'll get to it. Go ahead.
This is one of yours?
No. Okay. Nah, it's one of my alternates, but
okay.
I don't want to steal from you. Keep going. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you which one it is in a sec. World Contact Day was first declared in March 1953 by an organization called the International Flying Saucer Bureau, the IFSB, as a day on which all IFSB members would attempt to send a telepathic message into space. The IFSB voted to hold such a day in 1953, theorizing that if both telepathy and alien life were real, a large number of people focusing on an identical piece of text may be able to transmit the message through space. IFSB members focused on the following message during 1953. Here's their message. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft that have been observing our planet Earth. We of IFSB wish to make contact with you. We are your friends and would like to make you to make an appearance here on Earth. Your presence before us will be welcomed with the utmost friendship. We will do all in our power to promote mutual understanding between your people and the people of Earth. Please come in peace and help us in our earthly problems. Give us some sign that you have reached our message. Be responsible for creating a miracle here on our planet to wake up to wake up the ignorant ones to reality. Let us hear from you. We are your friends. Everyone, focus! Focus on that message. Just...
Hey, Ben, did it work?
No. But they do it every year. They've been doing it every year since 1953, and they're still doing it.
You can't make this up. This is real.
Yeah. We are your friends.
Oh, love it. Love it!
You know, as ridiculous as that is, it did end up creating an amazing song. Created in 1976 by a band called Klaatu, called Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft.
I was wondering if you were going to use this one or the Carpenters one.
Well, I'm not done talking, Gabe Scalone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It was later covered by the Carpenters. I'm going to play a version by Shannon Hurley.
Oh, nice.
Yes. This appeared on her 2014 album, The Light. And not only features me on bass, I do have a couple of lines of lead vocal in this. You'll hear me singing, was it Only a Landing Will Teach Them, Do Come We Beg You. When you hear those, that's me singing.
That was nice of her.
She insisted on it. I didn't want to do it, but it was really fun to play bass on this. So, and just... She produced this and does all... Oh, I'm sorry. Shout out to our man Steve Cunningham, guest of the show a couple times. He's playing the guitar solo on this. But otherwise, it's all Shannon and me. And we're really proud of this one. I think it's great. I think it's actually worthy of putting on this list. And no, obviously Klaatu and the Carpenters are both awesome, and their versions are great. Although the Carpenters' version has that intro that's really annoying with the radio announcer. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I agree. And during the song, they kind of affect this weird voice that kind of, you know, takes away from it. It would have been better if they just let, you know, they just did it normal Carpenter style. Don't try to do anything more. But
well, I like it all except for the intro where he's like, "Hey, baby, you sound great over the radio. What's your name?" "We are observing your Earth." I'm sorry. We don't have that one. "We are observing your Earth." It's like, it's kind of cheesy. And then the vocoder alien voice says, "And we'd like to make contact with you, baby."
Yeah, that didn't work. But Shannon's version blows them all away.
Does it? Have you heard this? Maybe.
I have.
Okay.
The album.
Well, thanks, dude. And thanks so much to Kate, George, Alan, and Bill. We're going to hear Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft, the Shannon Hurley version. Number six.
Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft.
In your mind, you have capacity. Capacities, you know, to telepath messages through the vast unknown. Please close your eyes and concentrate with every thought you think upon the recitation we're about to sing. of interplanetary crack. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary crack. Calling occupants of interplanetary crack. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary most extraordinary craft. You've been observing our Earth, and we'd like to make a contact. Interplanetary craft. Calling occupants of interplanetary ultra emissaries. We've been observing your Earth, and one night we'll make a contact with you. We are your friends.
That's ridiculous. Lovely,
isn't it? It goes off the rails as does the Carpenters version. Actually, all of them do, but you know,
well, it's part of the fun of the song.
We have fun, yeah. Everyone, go check out Shannon's album, The Light, from 2014. It's got that song on it as well as a bunch of the good stuff. Here's a quick album review of The Light from the Daily Album. They say, indie rock, singer-songwriter, alternative pop? Not quite sure how to label this, but if any of those genres appeal to you, Hurley's latest will be sure to please. Today's artist has seen her share of successes over the past 6 or 7 years after being named one of Rolling Stone's best 25 artists on MySpace following her 2007 debut, Ready to Wake Up. Shannon Hurley has published 2 more LPs prior to The Light. Hurley's songs have been featured on a plethora of television series, including American Idol, The Lion King, 90210, and So You Think You Can Dance. She's also one half the electronic duo Lovers and Poets with husband Ben Eisen. Her latest release, The Light, follows in the pop-rock singer-songwriter style of her previous efforts. The writing and composition is solid from start to finish, without a weak track in this collection of 10 new pieces. Hurley ups her production level with an album that is increasingly polished without going over the top in an effort to achieve a mainstream sound. Just catchy enough to draw you in and pay attention to the metaphor-driven lyrics, which, by the way, are one of the highlights of the album. I love this, by the way. I don't think they knew it was a cover. They say, the most intriguing song, however, is the extraterrestrial tune Calling Occupants. Channeling the Beatles and Radiohead, Hurley pushes the boundaries of this album far beyond what you'd expect from the title track. Kudos to Shannon for including this track and closing with a curious but awesome present.
Ah, that's great. It's a wonderful album.
I agree. In fact, she's got a new one.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say she's got a brand new album that just came out. Everyone check it out. It's called Happiness. It came out today, Friday.
Oh, right on. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So that is...
Hey, I heard a rumor about your wife.
What?
I heard she was related to Numbers Girl. Is that true?
Good question. How do I answer that? Moving on. Anyway, let's. I can't reveal the secret identity. I just can't do it. Couldn't do it.
I'm gonna have to dig deeper into this.
Anyway, that is number six. So we're sort of at our halfway point, and I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the show is now in two parts, 10 through 6, and then 5 through 1. So this is the end of part 1, except for one more thing. It's the bonus track of the week. This is the song requested by our friends on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for part 1. So check it out. And we'll be back next week with the rest of our list and some more fun stuff. Say goodnight, Gabe Scalone.
Good night, Gabe Scalone.
Thanks, dude. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time, peace out.
As chosen by our listeners on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, here's the bonus track of the week.
Hey, everybody. It's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week, selected by our friends on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All right. Thanks so much to the great Gabe Scalone for coming through for us. This was literally like 3 days ago, 2 days ago. It was Friday that we taped this. Doing everything last minute, scheduling issues, all that good stuff. But Gabe is the best, as we know. So this is the bonus track for Top 10 Songs About Aliens, Part 1. These are the songs you guys were voting on the social medias. We had Parliament with Mothership Connection. We had A Flock of Seagulls with Iran, So Far Away. We had Porno for Pyros with Pets, but the winner this week, it's Sheb Woolley. It's the old classic, The Purple People Eater. This is back from the 60s, I believe. Novelty hit, of course. Everyone knows this one. A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater that somehow sounds like a chipmunk. Anyway, thanks so much to everyone who voted for it, and thanks to everyone who picked it. When we were calling for listener picks a while back. So big time shout out to Jane, Lynn, Adam, Bill, Kirk, and Jonathan. They want to hear The Purple People Eater, who apparently eats purple people too. But it's Sheb Woolley. It's the bonus track of the week. And this is it for part one. Check it out next week. We'll be countdown numbers 5 through 1. So look for that. In the meantime, thanks everyone for listening. And until next time, peace out.
Listener pick.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had one long horn and one big eye. Like a Mr. Shaking in the city. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
One-eyed.
Well, he came down to earth and he lit in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I wouldn't eat you, cause you're so tough.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
One horn?
I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, what's your line? He said, eating purple people, and it sure is fine. But that's not the reason that I came to land.
Rock and roll band.
Well, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater. Pigeon toed undergrowth, flying purple people eater.
We wear short shorts.
Friendly little people eater. What a sight to see. And then he swung.